Walter Cronkite reporting with news and analysis on the CBS radio network. This week, the staff of the Senate Watergate Committee alleged that the committee to re-elect the president had put at least 25, and perhaps as many as 60, agents out in the cold to play dirty tricks on the Democrats in the 72 campaign. Did their efforts, as a couple of people have suggested, merely have the weight of a feather? Or were the effects, as some of the victims have claimed, far more serious? A look in a moment.
If you get a little headache,
or your breath's a little short,
or you feel a little dizzy, then if you're the worrying sort,
you think your old hypertension has got you,
your blood pressure's coming on strong, you're playing guessing games, my friend, and chances are you're wrong. Don't get the bad high blood pressure. Don't get the bad hypertension. Don't get the bad high blood pressure. Only a doctor can tell for sure. Only a doctor can tell.
Give your doctor a chance to tell. If you have it, he can control it. High blood pressure is nothing to guess about. That's the advice of your heart association. So remember,
don't get the bad high blood pressure. Only a doctor can tell for sure. Only a doctor can tell.
Almost, but not quite buried by more recent confrontations, the Senate Watergate Committee continues to plod on with its hearings, now in phase two, dealing with dirty tricks in the 72 campaign aside from the Watergate break-in. One of the more notorious witnesses was Donald Segretti, who now admits to and repents of illegal acts of campaign sabotage as a paid operative of the Nixon re-election campaign. Before the Senate committee, Segretti contended his activities in connection with various Democratic primaries were grossly exaggerated by the news media. His actions fell roughly into three categories. One, pranks of the college fraternity type, stink bombs at Muskie headquarters, inviting everybody to a non-existent party over at Hubert Humphrey's, that kind of thing. Two, presumably legitimate demonstrations of opposition, arranging for pickets at Democratic rallies, planting difficult or embarrassing questions in the audience. As we say, such activities sound perfectly proper, even though the questions were intended mainly to throw the candidate off stride, and even though many of those protesting pickets appeared to represent other Democratic factions, not the Republicans who really sent them there. Which brings us to the third group of activities by Segretti, those which at best were nastily deceptive and at worst admittedly illegal. Among these, the spurious letter that brought Segretti afoul of the law, the one on McGovern stationery, falsely charging Senators Humphrey and Jackson with sexual misconduct. In hindsight, it all sounds so puny. Segretti himself endorsed the disparaging assessment by the prestigious Theodore H. White. In the Making of the President, 1972, White says the entire Dirty Tricks operation had the weight of a feather in the internal struggle of the Democratic Party. But from incomplete data, White assumed the intent was to knock down the early Democratic frontrunner, Muskie, and thereby assist McGovern, who was deemed easier to beat. Segretti now says he was told the primary objective instead was to sow confusion, rancor, and bitterness among the Democrats so they couldn't reunite after the convention, no matter who was nominated. This objective may well have been realized, according to the testimony of former Muskie campaign chief Burl Bernhard and a counterpart on the McGovern team, Frank Mankiewicz. Mankiewicz asked if dirty tricks therefore played a role in Muskie's initial refusal after withdrawing to endorse McGovern, and in Humphrey's defiant challenge to McGovern over the California delegation. That challenge reportedly distracted the McGovernites so much that they paid only cursory attention to the selection of Senator Eagleton as a running mate. Bernhard and Mankiewicz, of course, aren't sure of the cumulative effects of dirty tricks in the 72 campaign, and neither is anybody else. Probably Teddy White's right when he maintained Senator McGovern would have won the nomination and President Nixon the election without any hanky-panky. But it would have been nice to be sure that when we exercised our choice a year ago, we based it entirely on what we could see before us, not on what was sneaked up on us from the underground.
The sun is the best source of light, but it only works days. Right now, those days are getting shorter and shorter, and you'll have to look for more light and look a lot closer to home. Pat Summerall here for True Value Hardware Stores. They're close to home, and their selection of General Electric light bulbs is one of the best sources of light on this planet. The Soft White Plus is the star of that selection. Its filament is stronger than regular filaments, so it lasts up to twice as long as GE's regular bulbs. True Value Hardware Stores have GE specialty bulbs, too, from night lights to floodlights. For instance, the GE decorative bulbs include the iridescents. They give the rainbow effect of a cut glass chandelier by themselves without the chandelier. Get three-way bulbs, too, to light a room three different ways with just one bulb. In fact, you can find almost any kind of GE light bulb at your participating True Value Hardware store. Check the yellow pages.
This is Walter Cronkite reporting for CBS News.